Going to be reading this morning in the book of 1 Peter, chapter number 1. And I know this is Easter morning, Easter Sunday morning, and I'm going to, try to bring a two-part message. And this morning we're going to be dealing with something that has to do with Easter, but usually is not thought of during this time. And then tonight we'll deal with the resurrection proper. In the Bible, in 1 Peter, chapter number 1, verse number 18, we have the subject here of the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And really and truly, if there was no blood, there would be no resurrection. Before there was time, there was eternity. Before there was a heaven and earth, there was the habitation of God. Before there was sin, there was perfection and completeness in this world. Before the resurrection, there was the cross. And upon that cross, our Savior shed His precious blood. And I want us to read in verse number 18 down through the remainder of the chapter of 1 Peter chapter number 1. For as much as you know that you're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. For verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by Him do believe in God, that raised Him up from the dead, and gave Him glory, and your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth, through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof fadeth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. This morning I want us to deal, as we have gathered here on Resurrection Sunday, and our hearts are turned toward the death, and the blood of the cross, and the resurrection. It is the gospel that we declare. It is the gospel that we preach, which is the power of God to salvation, the Bible says, to the Jew and also to the Gentile. It's the power of God and salvation to everyone that will believe. The gospel is the death, the burial, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is to be believed in order to, for one to be saved and go to heaven. The little statement, "it is finished," certainly differentiates our Christian faith from every other religion in the world, for ours is done while theirs is being done. This morning our resurrected Lord has taken care of every need that we have from the time we are born and to the time we leave this world and then even in eternity. As we read these verses in 1 Peter, we find that the Lord makes much of the blood of Christ. We find that He tells us here that it is the precious blood. We that are saved this morning, I believe we need to also make much of the blood of the Lord. We need to herald those words out around our community and around our world and around our nation, that it is by the shed blood of one that died some 2,000 years ago that we have life. It is because of His work and because of His finished work upon Calvary that we can stand here and we can be in this building and we can proclaim Jesus saves. Salvation, what a wonderful message it is. Many of the founders of our country were Christians. Many of the folks that who were entrepreneurs of years gone by have been those that put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have men like J.C. Penney, that individual that was very much a worker for the Lord, and we have the stores all across our country that bear his name. I'm sorry to say they have left their standards and his standards years ago. Before his death, Mr. J.P. Morgan, a noted financier and a multimillionaire, he composed his will that consisted of some 37 different articles, and it had over 10,000 words just in his will. And while he was being involved in the transactions involving millions of dollars. During his business career, he left no doubt what was the greatest transaction that he ever made was the day that he met the Lord Jesus Christ. He recognized the priceless value of the atoning sacrifice of the Lord's blood that was shed for him upon the cross of Calvary. Here's just one little statement of his written in his will. He said, I commit my soul in the hands of my Savior, full of confidence in having redeemed me and washed me with His most precious blood. He will present me faultless before the throne of my Heavenly Father. I entreat my children to maintain and defend at all hazards and all and any cost of personal sacrifice the blessed doctrine of complete atonement through the blood of Christ with regards to the believer's salvation. Thank God for men that will stand and will proclaim without any shadow of a doubt that their salvation was based upon the shed blood of our Lord. And we are here this morning as we have read these verses. The Bible says that it is with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. This morning I want us to deal with this cross and this blood that was shed upon the cross of Calvary. For you see, the cross of Christ is our, as a believer, that is our sacrifice. He died for us. He sacrificed Himself for us. He didn't swoon away. He didn't pass out. He died. He did it voluntarily of His own will. No one killed Him. No one placed Him in a place that He had to die. For the Scriptures declare to us that He dismissed His own spirit and that He willingly gave His life. So the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ is it's the believer's sacrifice, while the resurrection is our surety. I'm glad this morning that we are sure of heaven because He arose from the dead, and the resurrection that we have because of Him. One day we shall rise as He did. And the blood of Christ is our security. For it is the blood that makes us have a relationship with the God of heaven. It brings us into a family position. It's the Lamb slain that has given us a position of a child of God and then placed in that family of God. But the Lamb slain there could not just save the Hebrew in Egypt, but it had to be applied to the doorposts, the blood did. As they passed through in different times of their own history, the Passover lamb that died could not alone atone for their sins because it had to be applied to the mercy seat. And when Jesus died, I believe literally His blood was applied to the mercy seat in heaven. There is a token of our regeneration that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this morning, what we have is because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not belittling resurrection. We'll deal with that tonight. But I want us to deal primarily this morning with the blood and what we have because of that. And of course, the precious blood, as the Scripture gives us here, the identification of it. The Bible says, "For as much as you know that we're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver or gold and from your vain conversations, but with the precious blood of Christ." And so what do we obtain? What do we have because of this blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm glad to tell you this morning, the product of that blood are you and I. We are the redeemed. We've been called by the grace of God. We've been placed in the family of God. We are called the redeemed. We've been taken out of the murk and the mire of sin and out of the marketplace of sin and slavery and the hold that Satan had upon us. And thank God, He has redeemed us out of that. And the Bible tells us in the book of Psalms, He's put our feet upon a solid rock. He's established our goings. He's put a song in our heart. And He's done all those things for us because of the blood of Jesus Christ. We are the product of the blood. We are that which has been brought forth. And we are to speak loudly to proclaim the message of redemption by grace through faith and because of the shed blood of our Savior. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 14, says, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Aren't you glad this morning that you can say, "My sins have been forgiven"? Praise the Lord. I know that I can remember many of my sins. I can call them to my mind, and many times the devil calls them to our heart. I mean, he brings them up like a flash before us, and then he'll try to trick us and tell us that, we've done too much and we are too much of a sinner for God to ever love us. But I'm glad, thank God, by His precious blood I have been redeemed. And not only do I remember, not only does the devil bring it to my remembrance, but I'm glad this morning the Scripture says that he's forgotten about it. And may God help us to remember that we are His redeemed. We are His people, called by His name, and we are in a relationship, a family relationship. He is our Savior. God is our Father, and we are brothers and sisters in Christ. It does not matter where we live, does not matter what color we are, does not matter what language we speak. If it's through the blood, we are in the family of God. And what a wonderful salvation and redemption that we have. It's not through the life or through the things that we do, but it's through His blood. It's not by our goodness, it's not by our trying to be perfect, but it's because He was perfect and He lived a sinless life and He died upon Calvary, and thank God He did raise from the dead 3 days, 3 nights later. And so we are the product. We're the proof of what the Lord said would happen if He died. That He would redeem. He told His disciples that He had to go to the cross. He told His disciples that He had to die. They did not understand that for the most part, but they had to experience that. And you and I, this morning, we experienced it one day in our life. It was a different day and an hour and a different year possibly, but one day we experienced the redemption that comes through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad I'm a product of the blood. I'm glad I have something to rejoice in because of what He has done and the blood has been applied. The Bible says here in verse number 18 also that we are not redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver and gold. And we're not redeemed with that which is passing away. I'm glad, thank God, what I've been redeemed by has been eternal and is eternal. The Bible says in Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of His grace. Hebrews 9:12 says, neither by the blood of bulls and calves, but by His own blood He entered once to the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Now, I don't see how you can misunderstand those words, eternal redemption for us. Who's the us there? That's the product. It's that point that we just made a moment ago. It's the product of salvation. The blood is there for all eternity. It was applied once and remains there at the mercy seat forever. And thank God it's the permanence of the blood that saves us. I'm glad Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I'm glad what He did for me is not by corruptible things. It's not by things that can be handled and touched and made by man. But it's by eternal things. It's made by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not with the silver and the gold. It's not with the blood of goats and calves. Those things were a picture and a type of what He would do. And one day John said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He recognized who the Lord was. And it's the preeminence of His blood that is important. It is that blood that makes the difference in our life. Sometimes folks want to make light of the blood and they call it the slaughterhouse religion. They want to make fun that we are always talking about the blood, but I'll tell you what, the book has much to say about the blood of Christ. In type, pointing to, and then in reality, speaking of His own precious blood. And here Peter says that we are saved not by those temporal things and corruptible things like silver and gold and even our vain conversation that we receive from traditions. You see, a lot of people are doing what they do today because of tradition that has been handed down. But that does not save. I looked on the TV this morning and saw the multitudes that were gathered there in Rome, and they're doing things by tradition. I'm glad we're saved not by those things. We're saved by the precious blood, the preeminent blood, not the blood of the goats and the bulls and the calves and all those things in the Old Testament, all those which pointed to one day the blood of our Savior, but we're saved because of Him. The Bible makes much of blood while man minimizes it, and the blood is called the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Many of our songs deal with the blood of the Lord. What can wash away your sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Now if you pick up some modern hymnals, you'll find some of those songs missing. You'll find some of the songs that are about the blood, they're all of a sudden they're just not there. They're not as important as they used to be. And then there are some times that they change the wording around that takes away the effect of what really is true. But I'm glad this morning there is a There is a Lamb that died. He died, He shed His blood. And I'm glad the blood is a token there in heaven that He gave Himself for us. Verse number 19 of our text says, "But with the precious blood as a lamb without blemish," that precious blood more than anything else that has saved us. John, or Romans chapter 5 and verse number 9, "Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him." It's still the blood of Christ that saves from sin. It's the only way that ever has been, and it's the only way that ever shall be. If a person goes to heaven, if we meet folks in heaven, they'll be there the same way that we receive our salvation. There's not this way and that way. There's not another way. There's not a religious way, and there's not a denominational way, but there's only one way, and that's through Christ. And He is the one that gave Himself for us. And Peter says the power of the blood brings us to the point of realizing that we're lost and undone, without hope, going to hell, deservingly going there. And yet Jesus said, "Come with me, I'll make a better way for you." I'm glad this morning that we can sing those old songs, "There's Power in the Blood." We can sing those messages. We can read the Word of God and how precious His blood is. As we read a moment ago, it's not by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood. His blood. He entered once into the holy place, and having obtained eternal redemption for us. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, it says, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the Prince of the kings, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood." So the Bible has much to say about the cross of Calvary and there Jesus shedding His blood and there dying for mankind. The Bible has much to say, and we also need to proclaim the message of the preciousness of our Lord's blood. The price of it, the blood of Christ, is far above all. Acts chapter number 20 and verse number 28 says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseer, to feed the church of God which He purchased with His own blood." The Bible is very explicit, and the Holy Spirit is very plain in telling us that what we have is because of not just anybody's blood, but His own blood. He suffered and died there upon the cross of Calvary. You and I, we may say, "Well, how could that happen? How can that be? How could one man dying for the whole world, how can that be? What makes Him so much different? What makes Him so much more accepted than maybe other things and other people? What makes His blood more important than the blood of bulls and goats and those calves that were given in the Old Testament as a pointer? What makes His so great?" Well, I believe our text here tells us that also. It says, "With the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Jesus was different than me. Jesus was different than you. We have been tainted by sin. We have the nature, we are born with the nature to do wrong and to be sinful and to be in the blackness, the darkness of sin. But Jesus Christ was born pure and perfect. For He was born, as the Scripture tells us, one of the pivotal doctrines of our faith is the virgin birth of our Lord. And the Scripture tells us that the Holy Ghost came upon Mary and overshadowed her, and she conceived and bare a son, and His name was called Emmanuel, God with us, His name Jesus. He's the Christ, He's the Messiah. And His blood was without blemish and without spot. No sin. It's hard for me to even comprehend no sin. I have been in this building today, and you have been in this building today, and more than likely we have thought sinful thoughts. Oh, we don't want to admit it. Well, we're in church, we don't want to think about that. Doesn't mean we haven't done it. Because we're sinners. We are sinners by nature. We can't help it. We just can't help it. I've had people tell me, say, "Preacher, I've tried and tried and tried not to do that. I just can't help it." Yeah, that's the problem. The reason we can't help it is because we have tainted blood. It's because we have impurities. It's because we are born in sin. We're conceived in sin. We live in sin. We choose sin. We want sin. We like sin. But the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ was pure, and our text tells us that it is without blemish and without spot. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. He knew no sin, but was made sin that I might not be just be called a sinner." What a wonderful thought. He was pure and perfect and spotless and no blame and everything right, but yet He took upon Him the sin of the world and died there upon the cross of Calvary as a sinner. And God darkened the sky and Jesus there atoned for our sin. The purity of the blood. I couldn't do that. So I've heard people say, "Well, I would die for those folks. I would die for my children, or I would die for this one, or I would die for that one." But, you know, when we do that, it really doesn't help. But when Jesus died, He died for us, and it helped. It made all the difference in the world. It made eternity for us. When Jesus died, it made much difference. And we find that the Lord gave forth His blood. And Peter said it was precious blood. Without blemish, without spot. That wasn't Peter speaking, that was God speaking. Without blemish. Somebody says, "What's a blemish?" Yeah. Some of you ladies put on makeup this morning to cover up some blemishes. We men don't have that privilege. Well, some do. Means there's some imperfection there. But Jesus had no imperfections. He was perfect. He had a perfect life. He lived a perfect way. Had no impure thoughts. Had nothing that was wrong. And, oh, thank God this morning, without blemish and without spot, I have salvation because of Him. Because of what He did for me. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 25, "Whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God." 1 John 2:2 says He is a propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. He took our place. He was made manifest for us. He was given. Christ shed His blood that I might be saved. He shed His blood for the unsaved. He shed His blood for me. He shed His blood for you. And this morning we have a message that we can declare to the world, Jesus saves. Amen. He gave to us eternal life. He gives to us life eternal. He gives to us all the things of home and heaven ahead of us because of what He did for us. He did not do this as an afterthought. Sometimes you get in trouble here, but that's all right. "Who verily was foreordained for the foundation of the world, but was manifest, made known." I said at the very onset, the beginning of the message, before there was a heaven and an earth, there was the habitation of God. There was and is eternity. Eternity has no beginning, it has no ending. It's, again, hard for our minds to comprehend. We just do not think in those realms. We think in times of the ticks of the clock and the turn of the calendar. We think everything in time. We go to bed at a certain time, we get up at a certain time, we go to work, we do this, we have this much time, we don't have enough time, we waste our time, we use our... We're all dealing with time. But you see, the Lord, the Bible says here that this was verily foreordained. That means before time, before there was a heaven, before there was an earth, these things were ordained of God that would take place, and that Jesus was as a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Did it come as an afterthought with God? He looked at Adam and Eve and said, "Oh my, they've messed up my creation. No, God didn't feel that way. God's never had a thought like that. God knows from all the rest of it. I have no problems with that. I don't go off the deep end with it either. But we do have to understand that God, in His knowledge, God knows, and God foreordained certain things, and one of them was that Jesus would die. Now He says here that it has been made manifest in these last times. I like the last two words for you. God foreordained the death of the Lord, and He was a lamb slain. John said, "There He is. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." And John declared to that generation that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. And now He has been made manifest. He's been made known in these last days. Thank God for us. That Jesus died that we might live and have life eternal and have the joys of knowing heaven and having Jesus Christ as our Savior. Oh, what a Savior is ours. What a wonderful Savior we have. What a wonderful Lord. What a wonderful God. What a wonderful man that we have that is our God-man that makes intercession for us. Oh, and what a wonderful time it'll be when He comes back for us. And it's the same one we're talking about. For the angel said to the disciples, "Why stand you here gazing into heaven?" Acts chapter 1. For this same Jesus, He's coming again just like you saw Him go. Just like you saw Him leave, He's coming back that way. He left in the clouds, He's coming back. And I'm looking forward to Him. Looking forward to the time that He can come and receive us unto Himself. Verse 21 says, "Who by Him do believe in God and raised Him up from the dead," there's the resurrection, "and gave Him glory, and your faith and hope might be in God." That your faith and hope might be in God. That's the purpose of the blood. Have faith this morning. I have hope this morning. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. It's Him. It's He alone that has given us eternal life. Then He shows us here that in verse number 22, tells us how that we have been purified our souls, and we do that only one way, obey the truth. The only way we can have purity this morning is by obeying the truth. Through the Spirit, unto unfeigned or real love of the brethren. See that you love one another. Here He gives us a directive as a believer, as a blood-bought, born-again child of God. We're to love one another. There's a lot of people who need to take that to heart. To love one another. To have understanding. Verse 23, being born again. Here we are. Not of those corruptible things again. Peter makes it real clear that our salvation is not by silver and gold and conversation. It's not by corruptible things. It's not by corruptible seed. It's by the incorruptible Word of God. For faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The only way a person is going to get saved is to hear the gospel. That's why these flags hang around. That's why we send missionaries around the world, because they need to hear the gospel. And if they don't hear, they'll never be saved. If God sends someone to a foreign, distant land, there will be those folks that will hear. And so we find that Peter says it's not by the corruptible things and vain conversation, not by trivial things or passing things. It's by the eternal message of the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And because one day we're all going to die. We're all like the grass of the field. The flowers that are blooming just, 2 weeks ago, I don't think I've ever seen as much decoration that God put upon us as He did a couple of weeks ago. The red buds, the dogwoods. I don't know if it's because we had an easy winter or what, but boy, I'm telling you what, there's more beautiful this year than I've ever seen them. You drive down the roads and just a mixture of colors. Just a mixture of beautiful things. And two nights ago, What a moon rise we had. I don't know how many of you saw that. What a beautiful creation that God had given to us. And to think that it all just happened. Oh no, we have a designer. His name is God. And we're not born again by corruptible seed, but by the incorruptible Word of God. Abides forever. We are like the grass of the field, and the glory of man is like the flower. You go down the parkway now, you don't see as many pretty things as you did. Why? Because it's faded away. Doesn't last forever. It's not here very long, like us. We're not here a long time. Even at best, 70 to 80 years, we're not here a long time when you compare that to eternity. And so we're like the flower of the grass of the field that fadeth away. And he says here, just fades away, but, oh, thank the Lord. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. Now, the last statement here, the Scripture says, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. The preaching of the blood. This is the gospel which is preached unto you. The Bible tells us, Paul said, that it's by the foolishness of preaching that God has chosen to save the lost. Sometimes he even uses our foolish preaching. But the world looks at preaching as something archaic and out of date. The world looks at that and, I don't want to hear that. That doesn't do anything. Oh, but it's by the foolishness of preaching that God has chosen to save those that are lost. I got saved one day when I heard the gospel. I heard it from a preacher. I heard it from a messenger. I'm glad I've heard the same message all these years. I'm glad the Bible has not changed. I'm glad the Word of God endureth forever. And the preaching of the blood literally is the gospel that we preach, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. Somebody says, I think I'll figure out who God is. Well, you go ahead and figure. You won't have enough paper. You won't have enough pencil. You won't have enough time. You won't even have enough money. And so the world's tried to know the wisdom of God by their wisdom. But it pleased God that we can know Him by the foolishness of preaching. He says, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. How shall they believe whom they've not heard? How are they going to hear without a preacher? What are they going to hear? They have to hear truth. There's a lot of things going on this morning, a lot of activities, a lot of religious things happening. But I'm afraid for the most part, in many, many areas, not a lot of truth. It is the truth that sets us free. It is the message of the gospel that makes us a child of the King. So, before the ticks of the clock started, there was eternity, and God said, this is the way it'll be. Before there was a heaven and an earth, there was a God in His habitation, in His eternity. Before there was sin, there was perfection. I didn't have time. I had one here I didn't even mention this morning. Before there was a Satan, there was a Lucifer. And that was not a bad term at that time. He was the son of the morning. But he found iniquity was found in his heart, and he fell from God. And there cast the world in sin and disgrace. Oh, but before there was a man, there was the man, Christ Jesus our Lord. As we sang this morning, He arose, He arose. He lives, He lives. And may God help us to spread the gospel, to spread the preaching of the cross to a lost and dying world. Did Jesus die? Oh, yes, He died. He died just as dead as you and I one day will be. There's a difference. For 3 days, 3 nights later, there was life. As He dismissed His spirit, He called it back. Why could He do that? Because He's God. God in the flesh. He's my Savior. He's your Savior if you belong to Him, if you've believed. See, it all comes down to belief. And so, He is that Lord that died for us. He's that Lord that went to the cross and shed His blood. But, oh, He's the Lord that rose again. He's alive forevermore. And tonight we're going to deal with that resurrection, what it means to the believer and how we are so involved intricately with the resurrected Savior, the Son of God. May the Lord help us to realize, and I hope that all of you can say, the blood's been applied. As He told the people in Egypt, you kill the lamb, you put it up a certain day, you kill it a certain day, but then there's a certain day you put it over the doorpost, down the side of your door. And God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. That was a literal occurrence. Literal blood placed on a literal door, and God passed over them, and they did not die. But those that did not have the blood applied, the Bible says there's a cry that went out through all of Egypt that never had been or would be before, be after like that, because all the firstborn had died. Not just of people, but of animals and creatures that died. It's not just the father, not just the firstborn of a family, the firstborn. If the grandfather was the firstborn, he died. And if that child only had one child, and firstborn died. Death in all the camp. Oh, but thank God he passed over because he saw the blood. If you're saved this morning, oh, praise the Lord for the blood. If you're not saved, one day judgment will fall. He will not pass over. One day judgment will come. It's all because it comes down to one thing. Belief or application of the blood of Jesus Christ being our Savior. We believe that, He'll pass over. We're going to heaven. Heaven's my home. If we do not believe that, the home is far different. Hell is a reality. It's real. People don't want to hear it. People don't want to talk about it. People don't want to have much to say about it, other than if they use it the wrong way in their language. That don't seem to matter then. But when it comes down to reality, every person in this building, we're going to spend somewhere in that place we called a while ago eternity. Has no beginning, has no ending. We're just in a little parenthesis called time. When a man dies or a woman dies without God, and dies lost, he goes into eternity. And he either goes to heaven or he goes to hell. It's determined upon what the Lord has done for us. The shed blood of Jesus Christ and our belief in that. Let's stand together this morning.